Let's go to Ezra, the first chapter and the first verse. Ezra 1:1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah the prophet might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He had charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is at Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is at Judah, and build the house of the Lord. The Lord God of Israel, he is the God which is at Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver, with gold, with goods, and with beasts, besides the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah, Benjamin, and of the priests and Levites, and all them whose spirit God had raised, to go up to build the house of the Lord which is at Jerusalem. And all they were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver and with gold and goods and with beasts and with precious things, besides all that was willingly offered. How stirred are you tonight? We're living in a world that's stirred. You believe that? And it ain't stirred the right way. We're living in a world that is stirred so much against religion right now, against people, against children, and it's working in such a, it's turned such a rapid pace, so to speak, that it's rather shocked me in a way. But the bottom line is they're stirred and they're not stirred to good. And tonight the Lord given us a message on the thought of being stirred. And my thought is on this is you and I need to be stirred to do the right thing. We need to be stirred to stand up for the truth. We need to be stirred to get out and do something for God because there's lots of things to do. I'm not against going to Africa or Germany or Austria or anywhere like that. But listen, folks, there's plenty of work to do right here in America. You don't have to go overseas to do it. Brother Marty and I have talked about it, and neither one of us, evangelists, has had a burden really to go overseas. But we got all the work we can handle right here in the United States. So, Lord, help us tonight. The Lord stirred this man up. He stirred him up, and he said, the Lord might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation. Now then, we got to do something. It's time to move. It's time to do something. And the Lord made the move first by stirring this person up, king up. And now then, he said, we got to build a house for God. There is still much building to be done in the kingdom of God. There is things that you and I can do. Say, well, Brother Carl, I'm not this and not that. I'm asking you to get on your knees and ask the Lord to stir you up to do whatever you need to do. Whether it be pass out tracts, whether it be sing a song, whether it be go help somebody, whatever it might be. One time there was two sisters up, and they decided they wanted to go clean the windows in a person's house for them. But they didn't want anybody to do it. So they eased out and they went and done the work. And they come back, as far as I know, nobody knew it but the people that they done it for in themselves. But they were stirred to do that. See, they wanted to help that person. Listen, there are many things you and I can do, but are we doing it? Young people, you can do it. Middle-aged people, you can do it. Older people, you can do it. This king said, Lord, stirred him up. Stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. And then he made a proclamation throughout all the kingdom to put it also in writing. And he said, the Lord of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He's charged me to build him a house of Jerusalem. He had plenty of things going. But now then, the Lord is going to do something more. He wants him to build a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Now then, I've done a little building in my day. Every congregation I pastored, there was a building project. The greatest of that was Guthrie, where we built a whole brand new chapel. In Holly Hill, we had one. And in Shawnee, we had a building project. And I know for a fact that it's not easy. I know that it's not an easy deal to take off and start from ground zero and build the thing to start to finish. That's not an easy job. But the Lord will work with you if you're willing to be stirred to go do something, whatever it might be. I'm asking you to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Stir me up, Lord, to do what you're interested in me doing. I want to go. I want to do. Listen to that, Lord. Dear one, I don't think there's much time left. I think this old world's going to wrap up, and we don't have much time to work. So consequently, the Lord's wanting us to get busy and be as busy as we can be doing whatever the Lord would have us to be. Amen? It's quiet in here tonight, but we need some stirring. We need some stirring. Stir us. Lord, help us to get down and ask the Lord to stir us. Right there in this meeting, inviting people out, putting out tracts. Somebody said, well, there ain't tracts. Yeah, we can get plenty of them at Guthrie. If you want them, just let Sister Dina Porter or some of them know, and they'll get you some tracts to pass out. It means much to God for us to ask Him. Now, you think about this. For us to ask Him to stir us up, that puts a willingness on our part. That we, as a body of people, we want Him to work among us even more than He's doing now. To do something that will be a great thing. And no matter where you start or what you do, the bottom line is you don't know what the end will be when God starts putting His hand in it. It can be a great thing. When's the last time you asked God to stir you up? Have you ever asked Him to stir you up? Have you ever got down and said, Lord, I want to be stirred to the depth. I want to have a stirring that I might do something, that I can help somebody, that I can go help in a meeting or whatever. This goes all the way, in a sense, down to cleaning bathrooms and washing and cleaning dishes and helping in the kitchen and so forth. All of it is counted in the work of the God. But Lord, help us to be willing. You get down and say, Lord, I want you to stir me. Not just a little bit, Lord, but I want a stirring to the depth like I've never had before. I want something, even to the fact of a calling or a moving of the Spirit of God upon me to do whatever you would have me to do, praise God. How stirred are we tonight? Stir us up in our convictions, right convictions. Stir us to a closer walk. Oh, tonight, stir our burden, our gift, and we'll get into more of that. Let's go to Acts 9 and 1. Acts 9 and 1. Talk about Paul just a minute. And Saul yet threatening out, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings with slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of his way, any of this way, whether they were men or women, they might bring him bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth. When his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And when he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat or drink. Now, not every person that gets saved, it's an easy job, so to speak. And what I mean by that is, like Brother Lewis Kimball, there's some in here don't even probably know who he is. Brother Lewis Kimball and I were close for a number of years till he died. And the bottom line was, the Lord began to work with him. But he didn't really realize it was God. And so he talked to this one, and they said, well, that's God. Dr. Nelson, that's God. This is God dealing with you, Lewis. Are you sure? Yes, I know it is. So Brother Lewis Kimball decided he's going to try this out. So he literally, now this is no lie what I'm telling you. I've heard him say it more than one time. He said he literally got in a closet. He fasted for 3 days with no food or no water. And he stayed in there and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed till he prayed through and he got saved. Now somebody said, that's pretty extreme. It might be. But listen, there's people that have tried to get saved that struggle and so forth. Listen, get a deeper depth to it. In other words, get stirred up. Ask the Lord to stir you with conviction. Ask the Lord to stir you in every way you can so that you're willing to do exactly what God would have you to do and get to the depths and get saved and stay there living for God the rest of your life. Some people, it's kind of hard, seems like, for them to get saved. I got news for you. If the Lord will get on your trail and get to stirring you real good, you'll do something. You'll do something. You'll either harden or you'll get softer and begin to reach out and begin to cry, Lord, have mercy. Brother Lewis Kimball come out of that closet, and he said, when it did, I was a changed man, and he lived it to the end of his life. Oh, tonight, who's willing to? If you need salvation, who's willing to say, Lord, do anything you want to do to get my attention whereby I'm willing to give it all up. I'm willing to get saved. I'm willing to live for God. Listen, folks, you can't start too early. I've done it for over 50 years now, and the bottom line is I don't regret one day of it. But you need to start. The earlier you start, the younger you start, the fresher you start, the better off you're going to be. But if you're not a young person, that don't mean you can't get saved. Get saved now. Pray now. Say, Lord, stir me. Stir me, Lord. Stir me to a depth like I've never been stirred before. I want to get saved. And mean it. And mean it. Oh, tonight, are you interested in getting saved? Are you interested in meeting a God and having a life of peace and joy that you can't get anywhere else? Listen, there's a lot of sin out there and there's a lot of corruption out there. It has gotten to the place, and I don't count myself a chicken by any means, but it's got to a place that there is some towns and cities I don't even want to take Molly and Paige and I to. The corruption, the destruction, I'm talking about everywhere from teenagers, even children. There is children killing people now. And then the teenagers, what they're doing. It is a real wicked, 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 messed up world because of the fact that the people have pushed out the light of God that has come to light them and to bless them and help them. They push that light away and push that light away till they don't have nothing but gross darkness, and they're doing things because the devil's leading them like a bull with a ring in his nose. Oh, tonight, the Lord wants to stir people up, and he wants to do it right here in good old Green Bank, West Virginia. Stir you to the depths like you've never been stirred before. Stir you up in every way that you need to be stirred. And like I said, if you're not saved, it's time to get saved. Now is the day of salvation, the Bible said. Don't keep putting it off. You don't know how long you're going to live. You don't know how you're going to die. Well, I'll have a chance to pray before I die. That is no real guarantee. There have been many people died in a car wreck. There have been many people died, dropped dead. I attended 3 funerals. One in Louisiana, come back home and went to a memorial service of another person that was 90 years old, living for the Lord. And then that was on Sunday. On Tuesday, I went to the third one. And what was he, 40, 49? Adrian. He's 49, somewhere along in there, and he died real suddenly. My cousin in Louisiana that had lived for God for years, they found her dead in the bed. Listen, folks, you have no guarantee that you're going to have time to pray. You have no guarantee that you're going to be able to cry out. Now, this is one of the most remarkable experiences of somebody getting saved that I've ever heard or read about. But the bottom line is, it doesn't matter whether it's his experience, it matters it's your experience, and no matter what it takes, get it. Don't put it off. Don't keep pushing away. if God says, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, it's time to start right now. Time to come right now. The Lord wants you right now. He is dealing right now. He's convicting right now. Listen, folks, there's been people that's pushed God away one time too many, and he never called them again. My mother told me of experience down in Lewin, Mississippi, where she was born and raised. And there was a man down there God was dealing with and dealing with and dealing with, and he wouldn't yield. And he said one night, he told him, he said, this is your last call. Do you believe that can happen? Do you believe there can be a poet that the Lord will say, this is it? Listen, folks, he can do that. He holds the whole thing in his hand. And you and I are most graciously gracious if we get a hold of that hand and say, Lord, I want what you got in that hand. I want that salvation. He turned it down that time. He said he felt the Spirit of the Lord walk away. And he would stand up, Mama said, and cry during revival meetings, begging please people to go to the altar and get saved. He said, I can never go to heaven. I can never be saved. Oh, tonight. Oh, Brother Carr, you're getting a little run. No, I'm telling you plain down truth, the best this old Okie boy knows how to tell you. The bottom line is, you need to get it when the Lord is calling. He need to get it when he's working with you. Because tonight, this may be your last choice. I know another case. This was a good one, Brother Egbert Allen. Some of you might remember him, but there's a lot of young people in here who don't even know who he is. But I worked with him for just about a little over three years, 1980 into 83. And he told the story different times where he was in an old schoolhouse in Missouri, had a revival meeting going, and he said the Lord had been dealing with him. And he said he kept resisting it. But he said that night, Brother Carl said, the Lord spoke to me and said, this is your last call. He found himself at that altar real quick. And the Lord saved him. And he helped him and he blessed him and he used him in the gospel work for a number of years. I got to work with him. He was way older than I was, way more experienced than I was, but I come up and worked with him, helped him. He's a blind man. I led him around and I helped him this way and that way and drove thousands upon thousands of miles all the way from Canada all the way down to Miami, Florida, well, south of Miami, all the way to L.A., California, and back in there. We put many, many miles down together. But the bottom line is one of them said, I don't want it, and the other said, I do want it, and the one that did want it, and he got it, and he was a blessing to souls for many years. Tonight, are you saved? I didn't know I was going to get in quite like this. You just pray for me. When I get into something, I guess the best thing you can do is pray, because I don't know just how I'm going totally. Tonight, are you got it? Have you been thinking about it? Have you considered it? You're here for a reason. These meetings are held to the glory of God and the good of souls, and you're here for a reason. And the greatest reason for you to be here is to be saved and living for God. Are you doing that? Are you saved tonight? Oh, tonight, let's make a move. Let's get down on our knees and say, God of heaven, stir me up. Let's go to Haggai 1 and 7. Haggai 1 and 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go ye up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I'll take pleasure in it, and I'll be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little, and when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste. And you run every man to his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Now it said, thus saith the Lord, consider. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. Now then, the Lord is wanting every one of us to have a case of salvation, baptism, sanctification, and then to keep deepening down till we get a calling of whatever our callings, whatever he wants us to do. He wants you to go just as far as he needs you to go, and he wants you to go. And somebody said, well, I don't want to go to China. I'm not saying you got to go to China. Or I don't want to go to Africa. I'm not saying you got to go to Africa. After one brother in here, he made a trip with Brother Doug Wall. His mother told me, he said, that the last thing you want to do, Brother Carl, is go to Africa. I said, I know it. I ain't going over there. I'm not physically capable of going over there. I'm not going. But tonight, the Lord needs people that is willing. I want you to pray that the Lord will stir you to the depth of sanctification, that you're willing to go deeper and deeper and deeper and have exactly what the Lord wants you to have. There ain't no ifs, ands, buts about it. Get the calling that the Lord wants you to have and don't quit. One minister said the Lord called him during a camp meeting there at Guthrie. Another said, told me one time, he said there was a certain message preached. He said, you remember that message, Brother Carl? I said, yeah, I know what you're talking about. He said, well, that's the message that really began to make the final move of him. And he's a preacher among us today. I'm going to tell you, Lord, help us to get down to the depths. Don't quit. Pray till you can't quit praying, so to speak. In other words, pray to the depths that God will use you in any way he wants. Building the church, building the things of God. Let's go to Exodus 35. Exodus 35. Are you willing? A willing heart, a willing mind means a lot for the Lord to deal and to work with. He can do something if people are willing. Willing to do what he would have them to do. Willing to go where he would have them to go. There was a minister, I've told this different times. He was holding a revival meeting, Brother Murphy Allen. This was before my time, if I'm not mistaken. He was holding this meeting and the Lord spoke to him and he said, I want you to go out and preach on the street. He said, Lord, I don't have anybody to help me. He said, no, I want you to go. Lord, I need somebody to help me. I need some singers and I need this. And Brother Murphy, he's just kind of standing there and he didn't know what to do. He didn't really want to do it because he was a little, didn't feel he had the backup. He got out the altar and he prayed. When the Lord got through to him, he went on out there and he preached like the Lord wanted him to do. Now then, the Lord wants us to get out of our comfort zone. Amen. He wants us to get out of the comfort zone. He wants you to do what he wants you to do. And that may be way out of your comfort zone. But if it is that away, he wants you to pray till he stirs you to the depth that you're willing to get out of your comfort zone several times if you have to. Tonight, he wants you to make some moves. He wants you to be stirred to a depth that you've never been before. He wants you to get down to business like you've never gotten. I could be wrong, but I don't think this old United States and some of these places has got a lot of time left. I believe the end is close. If nothing else, I've made a prophecy, if you want to say that. I believe we could be in a world war in a couple of years. Within 2 years, we could be in a war, and that war could be very destructive. We need to work now. We need to go do now. We need to do what the Lord wants us now. And the best place to start is right here in this meeting, praying and begging God to help you to get to the place where he'd have you to get. All right, Exodus 35. And about the fourth verse. 35 and 4 of Exodus. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass, blue and purple and scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skin dyed red, badger skin, shittim wood, and light for the oil for the light, and spices for anointing oil and for sweet incense, onyx stones, stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. And ever wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. The tabernacle, his tent, and his cupboard, his thatches, his boards, his bars, his pillars, and his sockets, the ark, and the staves thereof, with the mercy seat and the veil of the covering, the table and his staves, and all his vessels and the shewbread, the candlestick also for the light, and his furniture and his lamps and for oil for the light, and incense, the incense altar, and his staves and his anointing oil and sweet incense and hanging for the door at the entering in of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with the brazen grate and his staves and all his vessels and laver and his foot, hangings of the court and its pillar and their sockets, hangings for the door of the court, pins of the tabernacle, the pins of the court, the pins and their cords, the claws of service to do service in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and garments for the sons to minister in the priest's office. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets and all jewels and gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet, fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. Everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering, and every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and scarlet and fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. The rulers brought onyx and stones to be set for an ephod and for the breastplate, and spice and oil for the light, for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. Now, it said here in the 21st verse, said, and they came every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whose spirit was made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, for all his service and for the holy garments. Now, this was a big undertaking. It wasn't a small deal. But the Lord needed them to give. And he's done some stirring to give. The Lord still needs you and I to give today. He needs us to be willing to hand out to God what he would have us to hand out. There's always probably some people, I know this pretty well for a fact, and I don't know no figures by any means, but people usually give so much a month on a regular basis. They have their job, they have their income, and they and the Lord work out and they give so much a month. But what happens if the Lord calls for more than that? What happens if he asks you to give twice that much or three times that much? Or what if he would say, I want you to dip into your savings and pull out so much and give to the work of the Lord? Listen, folks, today the work of God is still a great work. It takes money to take this work and to go across nation. It takes money to operate. Brother Marty said something to me a while ago, it's quite a job to get a camp meeting going or something like that. It is. I've worked with two congregations that had camp meetings. Guthrie is the second largest meeting in this nation. And it takes money to operate meetings. It takes money to operate the gospel work. It takes money to operate the foreign works. It takes a lot of money. When's the last time you asked the Lord to stir you up to give more or to do more? But Lord, what would you have me to do? There's always something going on or needing, maybe that's a better way to put it. There's always something that is being needed. And you can look at it and you can say, well, Lord, I can help in that. What would you have me do? You let me know, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to give more than my regular offering. Lord, help us tonight to be willing to give what the Lord would have us to give. This is not a 10% deal. This is a 100% deal. We're 100% give to God. Everything we own belongs to Him. Everything in our savings, everything in our home, everything in our cars and so forth, that's all owned by God when we give it to Him. And so consequently, it's 100%. Now, what have you got that the Lord could use? What would you have that the Lord could stir you up to give? Have you asked the Lord to stir you more, to give more? And I'm not talking totally this meeting here, but I deal in meetings all summer long, fall, spring. I travel congregation to congregation in the winter and spring some, but there's revival meetings to be held. There's camp meetings to be held. There's assembly meetings to be held. There's special meetings to be held. And all of that takes money. Lord, help us to be willing to be stirred, to give more. To give more maybe than we've ever given. You can't take it with you. You and I can't take it anywhere, can we? We cannot do it tonight. So Lord, help us to be willing to give what the Lord would have us to give. Maybe a little extra. Let's go to Acts 14. Let's go to Acts 14 and 1. Acts 14 and 1. Being stirred. When's the last time you asked the Lord to stir you up real good? Or have you ever done it? Have you ever asked the Lord, Lord, stir me. Stir me to a greater depth. Stir me to what you want me to do or say or go or be or whatever. Lord, ask, help me to have what you want me to have. 14 and 1 of the good book of Acts says this, and it came to pass at Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. A long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony in the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part of the Jews, and part with the Jews, and part with the apostles. Now then, except the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, and made their minds evil against the brethren. You think the devil would try to do some stirring up to stop some things? The devil is everywhere the work of the Lord is, and all other places too, as far as that goes. But he will do anything he can to stop you and I in the gospel work, no matter what it is. You can pray, and the Lord can give you a definite stirring, give you a definite leading, and you can move forward to do it, and the devil will try to stop you. And here you are, all stirred up and all ready to go and rip-roaring, and the devil's right there to say, you ain't going to do it. Let me tell you something. When that starts happening, know for sure that God has leading you by His Spirit. And what you need to do is plow straight ahead. You don't need to stop. You need to say, thank the Lord for what you have done, the stirring you've given me. I see the devil's trying to stop it, and I'm going to go on. Now, some of you from Green Bank have probably heard this, because the old general, as I call him, Brother Mark Sammons has told this, and I've heard him tell it and working with him. But he was holding a meeting in Ridgeville, South Carolina, a number of years ago. And he was preaching one night, and he said he slowed down a little bit, and he said he heard this noise to his right. And he said he looked over there, and there's a man barking like a dog. He said the next night, said he was preaching along, and he got to looking out the windows of the chapel, and he said he saw spirits looking at every window of that chapel. And he says, "Wife, we got to do some praying." And they started fasting, they started praying, they started begging and pleading, and God began to work. Listen, folks, it didn't shut it down. The devil wants to shut down anything you and I do, whether it's putting out tracts all the way up to whether it's preaching the gospel or whatever. The devil wants to stop you and I from working for God. Mark it down in your book. Carl Schaefer said it. He'll do it if you'll let him. Tonight, don't let the devil slow you down or shut you down. When God has stirred you up to go do something, go do it. Go do it. Brother Salmon said they went to fasting and they went to praying. And he said at the end of that meeting, they baptized, I think, about 14, 15 people. And said the end of the meeting was a glorious meeting. They didn't quit. They were stirred. The devil tried to shut them down, but they wouldn't quit. Oh, tonight, you and I do not want to quit. Be stirred up. Be stirred up to move right on ahead for the good things of God. If you are stirred and the Lord is leading you and guiding you, don't quit, because the devil will just laugh at you if he gets a chance. All right, let's go to the 17th chapter of Acts. Talk about Paul here a little bit. And this is where Paul is preaching on Mars Hill. And I'm not going to read it all. But if you want to start the 16th verse, you go home, you want to read it and read it on down to where it quits there. But the Lord, it said, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him, certain philosophers and Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him. And some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Others, some, 'He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus in the resurrection.' And they took him and they brought him unto Ergus, and said, 'May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is?' And so Paul went on, and he said there in the 22nd verse, 'Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription: to the unknown God, whom there you ignorantly worship him, declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in the temple made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed in the bonds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not very far, be very far from every one of us. For in him we live and we move and we have our being. As certain also of the own poets have said, for we also are his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto silver, gold, or silver, or stone graven by art or man's device. And the times of his ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he had appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead." Now, what's the last thing that you looked at that stirred you up? In a righteous way, looking on something, hearing something, maybe reading something that literally touched you to a depth of the degradation and the sin that was involved in that, and the stirring that it brought about you, in you. Have you ever had that? Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever considered it? The Lord tonight wants us to be able to look on things and for us to say, "Lord, that bothers me. I'm sorry it's that away. It don't take very much anymore to get things stirred up. And it don't take very much for us that's living for the Lord and looking out there to see and to say, that bothers me deeply. So are you stirred tonight? Look around. If you are, I want you to beg the Lord to do something. Beg the Lord to work with you and deal with you and call you into whatever. I'm not talking about everybody being a preacher, everybody being a missionary. I'm not talking about that. But all of us can do our part, what the Lord would call us to do. He may need you to give out some tracts. He may need you to do various things. The Lord is interested in the work of God around the world. All right, let's wrap it up. Got three more places of Scripture. 2 Peter 1, 12 through 15. 2 Peter 1, 12 through 15. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now then, sometimes those of you that had a pastor and you sat in a congregation week after week, hear that same pastor preach and teach over and over. And maybe you hear the same thing more than one time. But that's all right. The Lord's just trying to stir you up. He wants you and I to get the depths. And sometimes we hear things. Listen, when we get saved and we start out, we're a baby in the Lord, we don't know very much of anything, so to speak. But as he begins to work with us and enlighten us and deal with us, we begin to learn, we begin to get doctrines down, we begin to see things, we begin to deepen down in the things of God and memorize verses and memorize doctrine, so to speak, and know all of this. But that takes time. And so consequently, the Lord comes along sometimes and he'll repeat something. And maybe he'll repeat it again. Because maybe you didn't get everything, and you probably didn't back down here. He's bringing it up again to help you to get a deeper depth. In other words, I want you to have it in remembrance, he's saying. Always in remembrance. To have these things always. I'm going to be gone. I can't do it anymore, Paul says. Timothy, whatever, who's ever writing this book. He says, Peter, I'm sorry. He says, I'm going to be gone, and you're going to need to have this to bring up in your mind over and over. So you say, well, what's he preaching on that again for? I done heard that once. Or maybe I heard it twice. Or maybe I heard it the third time. Well, just thank God he's trying to deepen you down. Say, hallelujah, stir me up, Lord. That's what I want. If the pastor's got to preach it three times, you've heard it four times, five times, whatever it might be, just say, thank you, Jesus. All right, let's go to 2 Peter 3, 1 and 2. It said, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you might be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Now he said here, which stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Again, he's wanting to stir us up, stir up the depths of a doctrine, or stir up the depths of something. Maybe dig a little bit deeper than what you've ever dug. Get a little more knowledge. Different ministers among us, as the Lord called them, they accepted their calling. And they spent hours and hours and hours begging God to open up the doctrines and to teach them and open up and lead them, guide them, and work with them through the whole Bible. And spend hours doing that. Well, but I'm not a preacher, Brother Carl. No, you don't have to be. But you're a saint, and you might be the help of somebody, and you need some of this memorizing down pat where the Lord can use it when it needs to be used. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy 1, 5, and 7. We're just about through. 2 Timothy 1, 5, and 7. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by putting on of my hands. For God had not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So he said here, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Lord, help us. If you have a calling, sometimes it's good to have some more stirring. Some more stirring by the Spirit of God. There was one preacher one time that a message was preached, and I think this very scripture was used. I'm not positive on that. It's been several years since I heard him tell it. But he said this brother got up, somebody that he had a lot of respect and love for, and he said that he preached using that scripture right there. And he said he had kind of wanted to pity himself. He kind of wanted to kind of back off and different things. But said when the preacher got through, if I remember right, he said, I went to the altar and I asked him to lay hands on me and pray that the Lord would stir me, that he would bless me, that he'd work with me. I'm kind of wanting to back up, not on doctrine. He wasn't wanting to backslide, but he just had been in a condition that he needed some extra boost, so to speak. Do you need a little extra boost? Are you thinking the Lord is calling you to do something? Do you think he's giving you a calling to do something for God or to make a one-time move for God or whatever, and you just kind of hesitancy? Come. Have us pray for you. Have us lay hands on you. Whatever we need to do, that the Lord will stir you, that you'll move out and do what God wants you to do, that he will bless you and work with you. All right, let's close in Acts, the 6th chapter, the 8th verse. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Sicilia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. But they were not able to resist the Spirit, the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses, against God. They stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes. They came upon him, they caught him, and they brought him to the council and set up false witnesses which said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. We've heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place, shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. But look at this. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. A number of years ago, in the town of Guthrie, Oklahoma, somebody trusted the Lord for a sick child. The child died. There ended up being a trial. And in that trial, the mother of the child, when they had her on the stand questioning her, she was looking out and she was looking at somebody. And I'm not going to mention any names. But she was looking out there and she looked at this person and she made the statement either to me personally or in a testimony or whatever, said, I looked at them and said, I could just almost see the face of an angel. Listen, Stephen, maybe he wasn't anything that they thought, but when it got down to it, when they was trying to do all they could do to him, the bottom line was he was standing fast in the faith. He wasn't allowing them to beat him down, but they looked at him and they saw something special. Lord, help us to have a spirit, to have a light and a love, that if they're crucifying us, so to speak, and coming after us, that they can look at us and say, hey, that person's special. That's not just anybody. That's God. I appreciate your time and attention. Let's have a numbered stand.